Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Y'all are going to have to pray for me this morning. We had donuts for Dad's this morning, and one whole box was chocolate covered. And we had chocolate milk, and you know, that's my Achilles heel, and I ate so much I'm so full I can hardly breathe. Several years ago, on Father's Day, a Sunday, I said something to the effect that that our world, our country, our city, our church needed godly men and godly fathers. That's still true today, probably more true today even than it was then. We need men of God to stand for God and serve God. Dad's this spiritual atmosphere, the spiritual welfare of the home, of our home, is our responsibility. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, usually when we talk about that verse, we focus on that provoke, not provoking part. You know, my kids used to tell me, "Now, Dad, the Bible says not to provoke us." What we forget is the fathers bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I understand that it's a partnership, a joint effort between the mother and the father. But men, fathers, we are, God has made us the head of the household. And He holds us responsible for our duties as fathers and husbands. So let's not leave it to the wife to do it. Let's not leave it to the church to do it. Let's do it ourselves. It's our job. And I want to say this, too, to all the dads out here. I know sometimes I talked to a father, it's been several years ago, and he said, "Well, you know, my kids are grown and my responsibility is over." Listen, no matter how old your kids are and no matter how old you are still an influence and still a witness to your children. As a matter of fact, dads, even after we are gone, even after we've passed away, the way we lived our life is a testimony to our children. So there's never a time to quit. There's never a time to give up. Get in there and get after it and serve the Lord and be faithful. There are a lot of good men in the Bible, a lot of good fathers in the Bible for us to look to as examples. I always hear new dads say, you know, when the first time they hold that new baby in their arms or when they find out the wife's going to have a baby for the first time, well, you know, there's no handbook for being a good father. Yes, there is. It's called the Holy Bible. It's the best handbook. There are a lot of guys in there, and today I want to look at one of them in Genesis chapter 22. He was the father of the Jewish nation. His name is Abraham. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." Abraham believed God. He had simple faith in God. In chapter 12 of Genesis, I'm not going to read that, but if you'll go back and look, in that chapter, God told Abraham He wanted him to leave his homeland. And He said, "If you'll leave your homeland, I'll make of you a great nation." Now, God didn't tell Abraham where He wanted him to go. He just said, "I want you to leave." But Abraham believed God, so he left. God promised Abraham that he would have a son, and that through that son, his seed would be as the sand of the sea. And even though Abraham had no children, when God made him that promise, Abraham believed God. And then later on, Abraham was 99 years old, still hadn't had that son. Sarah was about 90 years old. She had never had any children, but God came again to Abraham. He said, "Listen, you're going to have a son." Sarah was well past childbearing age, and besides all that, she'd never had any kids, but Abraham believed God. Simple faith. When God said it, Abraham believed it. But in chapter 22 is the story of Abraham and Isaac. You know the story. You're familiar with it. It is probably the greatest example of the faith of Abraham, the trust of God in Abraham, in all of the Bible. So I want to read that this morning. We're going to read the first 13 verses of Genesis chapter 22. By the way, I saw some of you don't know this, but there's a lady in our church. She's not here this morning. She's not feeling good, but she has a little light And she told me when I got to go preaching too long, she was going to shine that light. So I know. I noticed some of you shining lights at me this morning already, and I haven't even started. So give me a break, all right? Chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Where have you been? He said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. That's a powerful testimony of Abraham's faith in God. And usually when we read that, we're talking about the faith of Abraham and the obedience of Abraham. Today I want to look at it and think of Abraham, the father of Isaac, and see what Abraham, the father, did. First of all, he took Isaac to the place of worship. I want to say that again. He took Isaac to the place of worship. Look at verse 3. We're going to read verse 3, 5, and 6 again. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. He took Isaac to worship. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Abraham took Isaac to the place of worship. He didn't have Sarah do it. He didn't put him on the bus, the church bus. He didn't tell him he needed to go, but Dad was going to stay home. He didn't drive him by and drop him off at the front door. He took Isaac with him to the place of worship. I'm going to tell you, this is one of my pet peeves, all right? Dads, mothers, parents, grandparents, take your children and grandchildren to church. I had a guy tell me this one time, bless his heart, and it was younger in my ministry, and I was pretty timid, and I didn't say too much about it then. He said, Well, I'm not going to make my kids go to church. I'm going to let them decide. When they get old enough, I'm going to let them decide for themselves. I want to tell you something, parents, grandparents, that is the flimsiest excuse I've ever heard in my life. Do we let them decide if they want to go to school? I'm not going to send my kids to school. I think I'll just wait till they get to be about 10 or 12 and let them decide if they want to go on their own. No, we make them go. Some parents, some dads in particular, even make their kids play sports. They don't wait until they're old enough and let them decide what they want to do. They just make them do it. We make them get dressed. We make them eat. We make them sleep. We make them go to the doctor. We make them take medicine. We make them get shots. There's a whole list of things that we do that we make our children do. We don't wait on any of them until they're old enough and let them decide for themselves. That's silly. We don't let them go out in the street and play in front of the cars and decide if that's a good idea or a bad idea. We tell them, don't do it. We don't let them put their hand in the fire and decide whether or not that's a bad idea or a good idea. We make them not do that. Parents, make your kids go to church with you. They may not like it. They'll get over it. Kids are resilient. And they may be mad at you for a little while. They may be mad at the preacher. They may be mad at the Sunday school teacher. They may be mad at everybody in church. But they'll get over it. Make them go. Abraham took Isaac to the place of worship. Also, Abraham trained Isaac in the procedure of worship. Now, I may get in a little trouble here. I hope I don't. You stay with me on this one, all right? I want you to notice verse 7. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And Isaac said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now Isaac knew that they were going to worship God. Abraham had made that perfectly clear. He even told the young men who were with him just before he and Isaac separated, he said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. So he knew they were going to worship God. Isaac knew they had wood for the fire for the burnt offering. Isaac knew that Abraham had a knife to slay the offering. He knew all of those things. And he began to look around and he thought, well, you know what? We don't have a lamb. So he asked Abraham, Father, where's the lamb? The reason he knew to look, to ask that question is because he had been trained in the procedure of worship. Many times Isaac had watched Abraham as he made the sacrifice for the family. This was before the priesthood had been established, and so the father, the patriarch of the family, served as the priest or the role of the priest, and he offered the sacrifices. Many times Isaac had watched Abraham make that sacrifice. He knew the procedure. Many times he had listened while Abraham explained why he was doing what he was doing. Abraham taught him the procedure of worship. And that's how Isaac knew to ask that question. Now, I know we need to train our children in the procedure of worship. I understand. I hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying that there's just one way to worship God. There are many ways to worship God. But I want to tell you something. There is also the way to worship God. And it begins with obedience. We worship God with obedience. As a matter of fact, worship of God starts with obedience to God. If you are not living a life of obedience to God, you cannot worship God. I'm sorry. I know that sounds harsh. Boy, I know that's not politically correct. But that's the truth. In the Scripture, in the Old Testament in particular, with the children of Israel in particular, how many times were they living in disobedience to God? They were serving false gods. They were offering sacrifices to false gods. And they tried to incorporate the worship of God in that. They tried to do both. And God rejected their worship because they were living in disobedience. Worship of God begins with obedience to God. That is the right way. That's the right procedure of worship. And it begins with obedience to God. Now, you may stand when you sing. You may sit when you sing. You may clap your hands. You may not clap your hands. You may dress up. Man, we went to a church last Sunday. I'm telling you what, the preacher wore blue jeans and a shirt. Woo! I thought, man, I want to go to this church. All different ways. I remember one time we had a missionary here from Africa and he had a video of their worship service. And those people, when they sang, they stood and they jumped up and down when they sang. See, I'm not talking about style of worship. I'm talking about genuine worship of God, and it begins with obedience to God. I don't know where we've gotten this idea, but we've got this idea that we can just do what we want, live the way we want, and tell God we love Him every now and then, and everything will be all right. It won't be all right. See, God requires obedience. We worship God by reading His Word. So, dads, parents, let your children hear you reading the Bible. Now, listen, I know there's some hard words in there. I know there's some crazy names in the Bible. I know there's some difficult passages. But it won't get any easier if we just ignore it. And the only way to make it easier, the only way to make it better, the only way to learn how to pronounce those crazy names is to pronounce those crazy names. So get in there and read it. Let your children hear you read it and teach your children to read it. We worship God by prayer, so let your children hear you pray. Let your children hear you love and adore God in your prayer. Let them hear you ask God to meet your needs, whatever it might be, in your prayer. And then let them hear you thank God when He's done it. Let them hear you trust God and rely on God when the answers to those prayers are not the ones you wanted, not the ones you expected. Let them hear you pray. Train them in the procedures of worship. Bring them to church. Here we are back to that, right? Let them understand how your church, however we choose to do it, let them see how we worship God, the procedures that we follow. You know, we like to think we're spontaneous, and every now and then I mix things up in the order of service, but the truth is we do it about the same way every Sunday. We have a procedure that we follow. It's not right or wrong, it's just the way we do it. Let your children come and learn that. Train them in the procedure of worship. Abraham did, and that's how Isaac knew to ask that question. There's something missing. We need a lamb. Finally, Abraham taught Isaac the priority of worship. I want you to notice a couple of things. I know you've noticed this before. I want you to notice, first of all, that there was no delay in Abraham's obedience to God. Don't you know? Well, let me read the verse. Verse 3 again. I'm going to read that verse again. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Well, don't you know that night was a restless night for Abraham? God told Abraham, I want you to take your son. Notice what he said, your only son, Isaac, the one you love. I want you to take him and I want you to offer him as a burnt offering. I think Abraham spent a sleepless night. I think he tossed and turned in the bed. I think he cried out to God. I think he prayed. I don't know whether God answered him or not. The Holy Spirit didn't indwell believers then like it does now, so I don't know what happened that night, but I think Abraham spent a turmoil, sleepless night. But the Bible says, early in the morning, Abraham rose up to go do what God had told him to do. There was no delay. Abraham received a command from God, and there was nothing more important to Abraham in that moment than obeying the command of God. Not his job, not his wife, not any kind of recreation that he had planned, not anything on the television. Nothing was more important to Abraham than obedience to God. He rose up early in the morning. And then the Bible says that 3 days later he saw the place. I got to thinking about those 3 days. I know they were traveling, but they spent the night someplace. They slept at night. They traveled during the day. I think those 3 days for Abraham were difficult days. But he didn't turn around and go back. He didn't stop short. He kept going to Mount Moriah until he got there because his priority was the worship of God and obedience to God. And then I want to read verses 9 through 10. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now, would you put yourself in Isaac's place for just a minute? Your father, who you know loves you, God knew Abraham loved Isaac. Isaac surely must have known that Abraham loved him. Your father, who's taught you and trained you and cared for you all of your life and loved you all of your life, has bound you and placed you on the altar of sacrifice and has raised the knife prepared to slay you as a sacrifice to God. What in the world would be going through your mind at that time? Isaac probably was afraid. He probably didn't understand what was going on, but I'm going to tell you what, he learned the priority of worship. He understood in that moment that even his own life was not more important to Abraham than obedience to God the Father. Nothing was going to stop Abraham from obeying God. No one was going to stop Abraham from obeying God. Isaac must have learned that lesson. Can I ask you a question, parents, not just fathers, but mothers and fathers and grandparents? Can I ask you this? What do we teach our children about the priority of worship and obedience to God when we don't? When we don't come to church? When we don't worship God? When we don't obey God? When the job is more important? When the recreation is more important? When the boat in the driveway is more important? What do we teach them about the priority of obedience to God and worship to God? I want you to listen to the words of Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say that. I didn't make that up. Jesus said that. Then in Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. God must be first in our lives. He must be the priority of our lives over our spouses, our children, our jobs, our money, our homes, whatever it might be, even over our own selves. God must be the priority of our life. He will not take second place. In verse 1 of Genesis chapter 22, the very first words said, And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. He tested Abraham. That word tempt means test. God tested Abraham. And Abraham proved by what he did that God the Father was the priority of his life. Obedience to God was his priority. Worship of God was his priority. If I were to ask you this morning, probably every person in this congregation would say, Oh, yes, God is first in my life. All right, we're in church. That's the right answer. See, that's the right thing to say. Oh, yes, God is first. Let me ask you this question. Does your life prove it? If God tested you, would you raise the knife? Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to have a song of invitation. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Christian, I want to ask you this question. Answer it honestly. You don't have to tell me, but please answer yourself honestly. Is there something or someone truly, honestly, that you would have to say at this moment is more important to you than God? If there is, would you release that thing or release that person to God this morning? Listen, He won't play second fiddle to anybody or anything. He must be first. Now, maybe you're here this morning and the truth is really you're not a Christian. Oh, you know about God. Maybe you've been to church, maybe you were raised in church, and you know about God, and you understand all this stuff, but the truth is, you're living a life of disobedience. You're really not serving the Lord. You're really not right with God. Would you come this morning and accept Christ as your Savior? You come while we sing.